two of us for about four nights, and it was really nice. But as we were crossing into Florida on Monday, I get the news that Bud passed away. And something about hearing the news that Bud had passed away and sitting on the beach with my wife, it kind of hit me that I'm pulling out of this series we're doing. And y'all getting the local garage sales, and she came across a needlepoint picture. And it said, "Prayer changes lives." So she bought that picture, and she took it home, and she was looking for a place to hang it in her house. And as she looked, she finally determined that in the dining room was the perfect spot over the dining room table. And with great pride, she admired her garage sale discovery and could hardly wait to show it to her husband. Well, that evening, her husband, and she continued to clean the house, and she found it behind the bookcase. And she thought, that's strange, so she grabbed it and hung it back where she had it. Of course, you know, put it back up there. And then, well, the next day she got up, and to her dismay, it was gone again. Well, she looked, and it was back behind that bookcase again. Well, when the husband arrives home, she confronts the husband and asks him if he's displeased with the art of the needlepoint. "You just don't like needlepoint?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "It's a great work of art." And she concludes that it must be the man. And one of the things, you know, we remodeled here, and if you were here when I first came, it was red carpet and pews and gold chandeliers in here. Looked completely different. And my son, who is now going to be 15 in September, hated that we changed it. He's like, "I like the pews." He's resistant to change. Well, here's the fact of life. We live in a world of change. Change happens, doesn't it? It's just a part of life. You know, it's... My mother's mother was the operator, so she knew everybody's business. But you just think about how much things have changed. And in our lifetime, in some of you's lifetime, you've seen a whole lot of change. You were around when there wasn't even TV. I can remember when I had a 13-inch black and white TV. And I thought it was a big TV. And we got a 19-inch, we were like, and it was color. Wow. And it weighed more than a car. And now, that doesn't mean that all change is good, does it? Not all change is good. But the majority of change we resist, and let's be honest, most of the change we resist has to do with us aging. No matter how young you are in here now, you're still fighting aging. And I tell people all the time, you have a choice. You can either age gracefully and embrace it, or you can fight it, kicking and screaming. But the people who truly enjoy life are the ones that embrace the change. Winter becomes spring, it's just constant change. Change is inevitable, even for those who resist it, even for those who choose to ignore it. It happens. But change should not cause worry for us. You know why? Because God is in control. God is in control. And we're going to get our scripture from Ecclesiastes 3. We're going to read the first 8 verses here just in a minute. And I want you to notice that the way, a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent, a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. God has appointed the times and seasons which impact the course of our life. the different seasons that we go through as we go from baby to senior citizen. And yes, even our death time is appointed. And we see in the writer of Hebrews says, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. And you know what? We might let it worry us, but it should bring us hope. I don't worry about dying. Do you worry about dying? Well, I don't worry about dying. And if anybody's ever lost a loved one or somebody you're close to, it's real hard for us not to say, well, I know God has that person now, but I want a couple more days. Do you trust God's timing in that? It's hard. We may know someone that we've been close to that lived a long, long life, but we want a little more. Don't we? We want a few more days, even just a couple more hours sometimes. But we have to trust that God's in control. I mean, because I'm not real patient. And when we doubt, because it's not our timing, don't we? We will have doubts. We can have doubts when we look at the world. Do you ever have doubts when you look at society? It doesn't seem to be doing all that well, does it? Does our society look like it's holding together well in God's eyes? I mean, let's face it, crime is up. Abortion is all over the news. Homosexuality and transsexual, you know, acceptance is on the rise. Matter of fact, it's becoming, society is not doing well, is it? It's pretty discouraging. And if you allow yourself to watch the news, you'll walk around going, oh, goodness, what in the world? What are we going to do, Lord? But you got to understand, God has it all under control. God has a purpose in what He does, even if we have a hard time understanding what purpose is. We may not get it. We can't see the total of God's work in our lives right now. We can't see the purpose in what we may be going through. We may see the beginning. And sometimes it's hard when we look at life and it challenges our faith because bad things happen. Sometimes it hurts. I mean, the whole book of Job is given so we might understand the wisdom of trusting in God. We must wait with patience. Boy, don't we love that word. Don't you love it when somebody says, you just got to be patient. And you're like, you shut up. You don't know what I'm going through. Don't we? Just be patient. Patience is a harvest. Now, I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that everything you go through is good. And it doesn't say that God causes all the bad things. But it does say that He will work it out for your good. If you'll just have faith in Him. If you'll trust in Him. And you'll find that there is good in God and His promises. You know, change is hard. And God has in mind, let me phrase that. A lot of people call themselves Christians. That doesn't mean they are. But if you are a follower of Jesus, then that's you. He expects big changes in you. That's us, the church. And God expects the biggest changes to be found in us. I mean, we look at the declining morality of society in the whole world and we think out loud, surely the Lord will come soon. It's out of control, all this sinning in the world. Surely He's coming soon. You ever say that? Do you know how bad society is? You do know there are 12 times society better. Don't we? We want to live in a place where that kind of thing doesn't happen. But what kind of change is happening in us? The change has to start here with the people sitting in this building. It has to start in the lives you live when you leave here. Because what does society see when they see you? More importantly, what does God see when He looks at the way you live your life? Are you born again and become alive in God through His Son? Now, we're going to talk about a word that people really love around here. Repentance. Jesus came preaching repentance. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So many people, they skip over that word repent, don't they? We just want to believe. Hey, the devil believes. You know that? He's coming. They're going to perish. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That means change is a requirement, doesn't it? We don't like the idea of God requiring anything of us, do we? But doesn't that take out grace? No, it does not. God's grace is He gives you a chance to repent. He gives you an opportunity to change. And here's the thing. God desires that everyone repents. The Lord is not slow in coming about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. Remember that word patience we don't like? It says God is patient. It's a good thing, or He'd have squashed me a long time ago. He says, not wishing for any to perish, but for all. You'll become better. Paul talks in Romans 6 that through obedience we change from slaves to sin to become slaves of righteousness. How many of you have that sin that you just can't seem to get rid of? Well, just go ahead. Everybody raise your hand. You got one. Yeah, we all got one. This sin that we just can't seem to get rid of, and it's almost like we're slaves to it. We keep going back to it and back to it and back to it. We turn and we walk away, but we hold on to it, and we kind of drag it behind us so that when we want to, we can turn back around and grab it again. But the truth is, it feels awful. Yet, we do it. But if we choose what is right, we don't have to walk around with that guilty feeling. You know, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, he says, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new self. Which isn't that the ultimate goal? You know, 2 Corinthians, Paul says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror for the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. See, the idea of coming to church is not just for information. Remember I said that last week? If you're not coming here just so you can hear words and get information. Information is no good unless it leads to transformation, a change, unless you're becoming something different, something more like Jesus, that in obedience comes about it. Yet the world changes according to God's will is what we want. To be saved, we must change according to God's will. And where are you going to find God's will? Here. You'll find it in His Word. In His Word. But we can only rely on one thing to remain constant. And that's here. In His Word. It does not change. God does not change. And the things in here that we find that are hard for us to accept. An infallible Word of God. You know, the truth is, God is unchangeable, and I'm thankful for that. I mean, in Malachi 3:6, I had a Bible college professor called him Malachi, the Italian prophet. But he said, "For I, the Lord, do not change." And in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, right? And then in Ecclesiastes, he says, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it and nothing to take from it. His word tells us what is right and wrong for us to live out each and every day. And it doesn't change simply because there are people who say it's okay. Do you want to put your eternity into the hands of those that mock God and His word with their choices? Or will you trust God that is in control and His word that is truth? You have to choose who you're trusting. You're either trusting the media and the world, or you're trusting God. You can't trust both. You see, there is a time change. There will come a time on this earth when in heaven will be burned away with a new earth and a new heaven coming. Now, we don't know when that'll be, do we? So in the meantime, what are we supposed to do? We should be allowing God and His will to be changing us more and more until we find ourselves complete and in the presence of our Savior. But in reality, we want to watch what we want to watch on TV. We want to go and eat and drink what we want to drink and eat. We want to go where we want to go. We want to behave how we want to behave. But in reality, that's not the way it should be, is it? We should be able to overcome that and not be slaves to that sinful nature and instead be slaves to doing what is right. You know, here's the honest truth. I have never, ever regretted. Would like to be in the presence of your Savior. The time is now to change. We know that we're called to a lifetime of change because Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. If you think you're ever going to arrive spiritually, you're wrong. You're never going to fully get it. It's a lifelong process to the point to where when you get there, when you're standing before your Savior, preaching that first message to them, they said, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized. Repent was first, wasn't it? Repent. Change. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It all has to begin with repentance, with change. Change to be more like Jesus. Take the Holy Spirit to work in your life as you embrace the goodness of God, and it will change you. And most of you in this room, you've already done that. And you have found that repentance is an ongoing process, isn't it? It's something that never stops. We're always, it seems like we invent ways that we have to repent of. And if that is you, you can, while we sing this song, and you need to come up here and pray, we'll pray with you that God gives you the strength to repent and... So how many of you got a decision to make today? Will I choose to follow Jesus all the way till I stand at the feet of my Savior? Will I choose Him today? Maybe some of you need to begin that step today. If that's you, don't wait, because you never know when your time will come. You're not guaranteed anything except one day you will sit before the Savior.
A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Casting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside, to praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out.
Thank everybody for coming out and worshiping with us. Isn't it great to be at church today? So what really matters is what we do when we leave here. Like I said, coming here is just the catalyst for the rest of the week. And what we do Monday through Saturday matters more than what we do on Sunday. So let's go out and make a difference. Now, we got several things going on. If you haven't, he's not little. But anyway, go over and see Santo. And then also, the yard sale's next weekend. And apparently, we've got a lot of stuff that came in today. And we need a lot more stuff. They've about filled them things up today. So here's the thing. I need a couple of you guys to come up here. I need some help with this morning, and maybe help Noah unload some. Some people have got stuff in trucks, and I've got a lady up here that's got some stuff she needs some help unloading. But listen, we'll need help during the yard sale if you're willing to help, because I don't want to be the only one to talk about it. Let's do it. Let's make a difference, one person at a time. All right, Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads with me. Dear God, thank you so much for everything you do for us, everything you give us. Just thank you for you. And just be with us this week as we have all these different things going on. And be with us as we go out and we are the church in your name. So thank you for all that, and thank you for you. In Jesus' name, amen.